Okay, so there are sources over there if anyone still needs. Welcome to our Family Day Yarchei Kala. For those who don't know, my name is Jonathan Ziering. I'm the Sgan Rosh Beit Midrash of the Yeshiva University Tarmitian Beit Midrash Zichron Dov. Okay, so the topic I want to talk about today is the question of davening from a cell phone, which is more and more common. You walk into any shul, and you will see many people on their cell phones, some of whom are davening. If you're on an airplane, or you're in an airport, or you're at a wedding minyan, or any type of haphazard minyan, then you will see many people davening off their cell phone. And one would assume that there is no problem, and I think our conclusion will be that it's not a problem, but we have to see why it might be a problem, because there are those who think that it's forbidden. And even if we don't conclude that it's forbidden, thinking about why people think it's forbidden is a worthwhile topic in its own right. Okay, so let's just get the basic sources down. The basic potential problem is as follows. The Gemara in number one tells us, the Tanu Rabbanan, Lo yochaz adam tilin biyado v'sefer Torah b'Yisrael v'yitpalel. A person shouldn't hold tefillin in his hands or a Torah scroll in his arms and pray. And Amar Shmuel sakin umoda ka'ara v'kikar harei l'chayotze ben. Shmuel said the same thing is true of a knife, money, a bowl, a loaf of bread. While you're davening, you shouldn't have these things in your hands. So we have one Gemara that says certain types of things you shouldn't hold during davening. Now just from that Gemara, what types of things would you say you can't hold in your hand during davening? We have, I think, at least two possibilities from that Gemara alone. Yeah. Right, so one possibility is to take those items as representing a certain subcategory of items, specifically things which might break, which even if they're not going to break, you wouldn't want them to fall. Or obviously, a loaf of bread is not exactly going to break, but you don't want it to fall. There's sources over there if you want. But anything that you're going to think about, because it might fall or it might be damaging to either you or the item in your hand that fall, that subcategory of items, we don't allow you to hold in your hands during davening. Why would that be true? Why specifically that type of item? Because it distracts you, right? Very simply, it distracts you, right? If you are holding a heavy, delicate, right? Let's make it very, very simple. You're holding, I don't know, a delicate, very heavy vase in your hands, right? So it's hard to carry, and you know if you drop it, it will shatter into a million pieces. It's expensive. You'll lose money. It'll hurt you because there'll be shattered glass everywhere, right? You're not going to be able to concentrate on davening, and in general, we want you to concentrate while you're davening. What's the other possibility? What? Right. So, what? Right. So, what's unique about Sefer Torah?
Kadosh.
Right. So it's kadosh, but the Gemara explicitly says a knife, money, and the like is the same. Right. So again, so there we can say there's some things that you're worried about because they're holy. You don't want them to drop. Some things so they're delicate. Some things so they're expensive. What else could it be a stand-in for? Right, so, and therefore, what items should be in that category?
Entertainment.
Well, for sure entertainment, but potentially everything. Right, it could just be that it's not specific. Right, it could be that you can't have anything in your hands, and that for one of two reasons. Either you say that just like we said before, holding anything in your hand is distracting. Right, and you could say it's only things which are valuable or might break or are holy which will distract you, but anything could really distract you, right? If you have a tissue in your hands, it could distract you. On the other hand, you could say, no, maybe you can't have anything in your hands, not just because it's distracting, but because it's not covered for davening, it's not respectful. And we'll see that people will say this. For example, right, if you go in, I'm not going to use the President of the United States as an example, because all norms have been broken. I don't know what's respectful anymore. But you go to the Queen of England, okay, right, where there's all types of norms, right? You don't go in, how are you, I need to check my email, can I take a selfie, right? You don't, right? There's a certain gravitas that you're supposed to have, when you're b'fnei HaMelech. Okay. So those are basically the two directions one can take. One is that you only can't hold in your hand things which will particularly distract you, or you can't hold anything, either because we expand the notion of what might distract you during davening, or we think that the reason you can't hold things in your hand during davening is because it's not respectful. Now, what in this Gemara tells us that it's clearly not only about respect, right? Respect, it might also be about respect, but it's clearly also about being distracted. Which example on that list? Right? Tefillin, Sefer Torah, right? I mean, all the Dvarim Shebekdusha, right? Especially Sefer Torah, it's not really lack of kavod to hold a Sefer Torah, right? So there seems to at least be something beyond just kavod, right? All right, if you walked in to meet the Queen with, I don't know, the British flag, I assume, okay, Michael, you have to tell me, is this considered disrespectful or respectful? I have no idea. Is it, oh, it's disrespectful? I take it back. I don't know, but still, the Sefer Torah is not obviously disrespectful to davening, and we'll come back to that, because that will have implications practically. Now, Rashi tells us already in number two that, yes, lo yochaz v'yado v'chule v'yispale, else you can't hold anything in your hand and pray. The problem is, you're always thinking about them, they might fall, you can't concentrate. What does it apply to? That all these things are the same for the purpose of prayer. Because you're worried about the knife, that it's going to fall, and it's going to damage you. That the bowl is going to, here we assume it's a full plate or full bowl, that it's going to spill, and the money will be lost, and the loaf will get dirty. So Rashi focuses on the distraction, but it also sounds like, what types of items does Rashi limit it to? It sounds like only things which are likely to fall or are valuable, things that would make you lose concentration if you're holding them. Okay, there's one more Gemara we have to see to get the basic picture, which is the Gemara in Sukkah. So the Gemara in Sukkah is talking about holding a lulav. So there was a custom, as we'll see, that people used to carry their lulav wherever they went. So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara says, Amar le mar barameimar le Rav Ashi. Barameimar says to Rav Ashi, Abba tzaluye kamatz libe. My father would even hold the arba minim, would hold the lulav and the esrog while he was davening. Now if anybody knows anything about lulav and esrog, right? We do this for halal, but there's a problem because, right, we all know that that creates a tremendous amount of stress, especially the esrog, especially if you have a pitom, right? You are going to be distracted. And yet, here we have an example of someone holding something, not just anything, but something that's clearly going to be distracting in his hands. So the Gemara says, how can he do that in Meisve? Didn't we already learn the Gemara in Brachot number 1? You can't hold all these things in your hand. We expanded it to include all these other things. So the Gemara says that's true, but there's an exception to the rule, which is, all the cases in Brachot, it's not an actual mitzvah, it's not a commandment to be holding those items. Now obviously a tefillin is a mitzvah item, but there's no mitzvah to hold your tefillin bag or even the tefillin during davening, as opposed to the lulav, there's a mitzvah to hold it, right? Because the mitzvah of lulav, contrary to popular opinion, right, is not shaking it. The mitzvah, the araisa of taking a lulav is holding it. That's it, taking it. Right, that's why we have so much trouble figuring out how you make a bracha on a lulav, right? Because the rule by brachot is you have to make the bracha over el asiyatan before you fulfill the mitzvah. The second you hold it, you fulfill the mitzvah. And that's why the Balei HaTosfos came up with all types of solutions. Right? You hold it upside down, right? You put it in your left hand, right? You switch the hands, right? And then you see people doing all these different types of solutions based on the Balei HaTosfos to prevent holding the lulav in a way that you would fulfill the mitzvah. So the Gemara says there it's a mitzvah, and therefore you're not tarid. Now what does that mean? What does it mean you're not worried about holding the lulav because it's a mitzvah? Me personally, when I hold my lulav and esrog during davening, I am very worried about it, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah, right? Especially you think about Hoshana, right? You're squashed next to the person in front of you, and you're watching, right? The pito, just waiting, right? So what does it mean? So what does the Gemara presumably mean when it says, holding a lulav, you're not tarid? So either the people in the time of the Gemara did not share my experiences, right? And once they had a mitzvah, they weren't worried about it, or... Well, they, sure, they were smaller, fine, or bigger, right? And stronger. I don't know. They were big Taimani ones, right? I don't know. Or what might the Gemara mean when it says you're allowed to hold the lulav because you're not distracted? What? Right. Meaning, even if it distracts you somewhat, you're thinking about it, right? It's either overcome by the fact that it's a mitzvah, or it's a different type of distraction that's beneficial to tefillah or something, but therefore it's not problematic. Now all this is going to be important in a minute. Reuelzer bar Tzadok Omer, and Reuelzer bar Tzadok tells us that in fact that was the minhag. Kachay minhagan shel anshei Yerushalayim adam yotze mibeiso v'lulavo biyado holech leveis hakneset lulavo biyado. The people would go wherever they wanted to go, including shul, with their lulav in their hands. Now Rashi says, what does it mean that you weren't preoccupied by the lulav? So Rashi says, inform me, doch shechaviva mitzvah lav, ein masa'a v'shimura kaveda lav, lo tarit. So Rashi takes the first possibility, that what does it mean that the lulav, you're not distracted? He means literally, you're not distracted at all, right? Because it's a mitzvah, it's not kaveda lav. Now what does that mean? Rashi seems to say, what type of distraction invalidates something during tefillah if you feel it as a burden? But if you don't feel that it's a burden, even if, in fact, you're concerned about it, that's not what we're talking about. The only type of distraction that's relevant is that which you feel as a burden. But holding something which isn't a burden is going to be fine. So keep all these things in mind. Now, the Ritva says, I don't really know what he's talking about. Right? The Ritva in 5 says, "V'lo yirad l'sof da'ato." What does Rashi mean? Devadai kol shekein shemitoch chavivuta mitzvah yitain libo bilulav shelo yipol lulikamid v'tfilato. He said, what are you talking about? The fact that you love a mitzvah and you're worried about the mitzvah makes you more distracted, not less. V'yesh lefareish. So he says, maybe what Rashi means is that tirda dululav kevin de mitzvah sh'atahi v'hi chaviva. Maybe what he means is that since it is the mitzvah of the day and you love it, even if you are distracted, it's not a needless distraction. Right? So as I said before, the two ways of reading this Gemara are either the fact that it's a mitzvah makes it somehow magically that you're not distracted, which is what Rashi thinks, though I don't fully understand it. The Ritva says, no, you are distracted, but you're allowed to have distractions if there's a good mitzvah tefillah reason to be distracted, right? So, right, for example, right, if right, the Rama says we shouldn't criticize people who bring kids to shul who are screaming and yelling during the Megillah reading, right, every time you hear Haman, because Minag Yisrael, this must be the Minag. Now, what's the Minag? Because it's part of the experience on Purim, right, to destroy the commemoration of Amalek, so we scream every time you're Haman. Now, it's a bit distracting, right? But you could say, okay, but if there's a purpose to it, part of the experience is screaming and yelling, it doesn't make it easier to concentrate, and I still always try to find the minion that's not like that, right? But certain people love that experience because it adds, even though it's distracting, it still adds to the, I don't know, atmosphere of Purim, right? The experience of reading the Megillah. So the Ritva continues. It says, so it doesn't prevent you from fulfilling your obligation in prayer. And he says, why? Because even though you're a bit distracted, the love of the mitzvah makes you think about tefillah more. Right? So that counteracts the distraction of holding something which you're worried about. Maybe that's in fact what Rashi meant. The Aruch on Air in 6 tries to defend Rashi, and he says, the Aruch on Air says, what does Rashi clearly mean? That carrying something alone is not called a distraction, is not called preoccupation, which gets rid of your intent, your concentration. Maybe it's only things like a Sefer Torah and tefillin, which you care about a tremendous amount, bazetarid shelo yiplu. That's what you're worried about because it's too much of a distraction of obisakinu kara. But a knife and a plate, enu kolkach tarut shevetivatel kavanato. It's not so bad. Mibnechshash nifila. That you're not so worried he's going to fall. Of almasha matrido. What does bother you? Hu sherabeinav shetzarich liso tam uli shomram. Is that you? It feels like a burden because you have to carry them. Vekatzvah, and you're disgusted by it. Abu lulav sheish mitzvah benetilato lo katzbo ve'enel choshev letorach masha nasao. And it's not a preoccupation. It doesn't preoccupy you that you're carrying it. V'lochein lo maharer b'zeh. You don't even think about it. Lo tivatel kavanato kavanat tvilato. And therefore, it doesn't get rid of your intent. So, how does the Aruch HaNer understand Rashi? Right? Why can you hold a lulav, but you can't hold a Sefer Torah? So what does he say? There's three types of items, right? There are things which are, right? What does he have? He has a Sefer Torah, which is a mitzvah, but you can't carry it. Why? Because it's such a distraction that even though it's a mitzvah, you can't carry it. Then you have things which aren't mitzvot, that even though they're not so distracting in and of themselves, the fact that they're purposeless makes you feel like they're a burden, and therefore it distracts you. And then there's a middle category of things which are potential distractions, not so distracting, and if they're also a mitzvah, that'll counteract it, right? So you have three categories. Okay, so now. We haven't gotten there yet. We're going to get there. But so far from what we've seen, right? Let's just take these principles that we have so far, right? And let's try to figure out, right, what things should be included, what things should not, in the prohibition to hold things in your hand. So we're going to come to explicit source about this soon. But let me throw some sources out. Some items out. A sitter. Can you hold a sitter during davening?
Yes.
So the answer to that is obviously yes, probably. Though we'll see that that's not obvious. I mean, it is obvious. It doesn't stop briskers from saying it's not obvious, but that's okay. That's okay. A sitter, why is it okay?
Because A, you're not fully paranoid to the Torah, and more importantly, it enables you to daven.
Good. So here, there's two reasons why someone's going to say a sitter is okay. One is because you use it for davening. And therefore, it helps you concentrate. Even though, sometimes, you know, you drop your sitter. Okay? The second reason is, a sitter isn't so expensive, it isn't a Sefer Torah, sidurim drop, and even though you know it could drop, it's not so distracting. Right? So there's two reasons you might want to be lenient about a Sefer Torah. One is to take the notion that anything which is for davening is fine, right, and is not distracting at all, which is Rashi's position, right? Rashi's position, at least the simple read of Rashi, or according to the Aruch HaNer, anything which is both for davening and not so distracting, because you're not so worried it's going to fall, it's okay, right? Or say that, no, it's because, right? So is it because it's for davening, that's why it's mutter, or is it because it's for davening and it's not so valuable? What's going to be the implications. What's going to be the difference between those two? What if you have a cell phone or any other type of thing used for davening, which is, right? For example, what the Aruch HaNer said about Sefer Torah. That a Sefer Torah is for davening, but despite the fact that it's for davening, it's so expensive and so valuable and so such an aver to drop it that even though it's for davening, it distracts you and it's usur. Right? What's going to happen with something? He doesn't explain it. He just says, right, it's clearly also mitzvah. We're going to come back to it, right? By the way, do we hold a Sefer Torah at any point during davening? Yes, we do. Right? We do. Right? Right? Exactly. Right? Kedush HaChodesh. And we're going to come back to that. Okay. So you can already see why cell phones are somewhere in between. Because on the one hand, if you're using it as a sitter, right, then it's for davening, and we're going to come back to those who think that a sitter is mutter, which it is, right? Then it might fall in that category. But on the other hand, it's also valuable, right? I mean, maybe mean, it depends which phone you have, right? Right. Some phones are, my phone can drop a million times, nothing happens to it, right? This is always like my chavrusa and I in yeshiva, we always had this. I always had like the cheapest phone that I could get, so it could fall a million times and nothing would happen to it. He always got, you know, $2,000 phones, and he got a new one every 2 months because if it, you know, they're so delicate and so expensive, it falls on the table, right, out of his hand, it broke, right? Okay, so it would depend on the phone. Okay, so let's continue. Let's see some sources, but keep that direction in mind. So if you look at the Rambam says in 7, Shmona Dvarim, in Halacha Aleph, in Parakeh, he says as follows, Shmona Dvarim Sarech Hamit Balel Yizar Ben Velasatam. So let's look at the English for this one. He says, a person who prays must be careful to tend to the following 8 matters. However, if he is pressured, confronted by circumstances beyond his control, transgresses, and does not attend to one of them, they're not of absolute necessity, and they are standing, facing the temple, preparation of his body, proper clothing, proper place, control of his voice, bowing and prostration. Right, there are 8 things you need to do for the covet of tefillah. In Halacha Hey, he describes, what does it mean to control, to wear proper clothing? So he says, Tikkun Hamalbishim Ketzad. Hamalbishim Ketzad. How do you do that? What's employed? So, Mitaken Malbushav Tchila, you should adjust your clothing first. Umitzayen Atmo, Umihader, Shenemar, Shtachbul Hashem Badrat Kodesh. You should make yourself neat and presentable before praying because of the Pasuk, right? They bow to God in resplendent holiness. But you shouldn't hold a Sefer Torah or Tefillin. And you shouldn't carry vessels or money in your hand. But you can carry the lulav because it is a mitzvah of the day, and hayam asui al roshov, you're carrying something in your head, ve'giyaz man fila, im haya pachot me'arba'a kabin, mafshilo lacharam, t'valelbo, if it's on your head, just throw it on the side. Okay. The Rambam presents all these things you can't carry, but note what he does. He puts one category, Sefer Torah, tefillin, in one category, and then says, and kelim. Now, that may not mean anything, but some of the Achronim have noted that maybe the Rambam is highlighting what we saw before, that there's 2 reasons why you might not want to carry something. There are things which you shouldn't carry because they're pointless, right? Like any vessel, and things which, even though there's a point to them, right? A Sefer Torah may bring your concentration to tefillah, you can't carry them anyways, because even if they are a mitzvah, even if they could help you think about davening, they're distracting because they're so valuable. Now, it could just be that the Rambam is making a distinction like the Aruch HaNeir, right? Which is saying, look, the whole reason you can't carry anything in your hand during davening is because it distracts you. Things which are pointless distract you no matter what they are. Things which have a point only distract you if they're really, really valuable. Or it could be that the Rambam thinks, like David said before, that maybe there's 2 different problems here. There's a problem of kavod, there's a problem of honor for davening, and there's a problem of distraction. Holding irrelevant things is a problem of kavod. Holding relevant things which distract you is not kavod, it's a different problem, which is you shouldn't be distracted. So there may be 2 problems simultaneously. And this is what you find in the Piskei Tshuvot, right? The Piskei Tshuvot said, right, the reason that is that it's disrespectful to stand before great people with things in one hand, and even more so before God. Therefore, even if right, he expands it. If it's about respect, he says, even if they hang on your neck or shoulder, right, meaning you're not going to be distracted, you have your camera on the neck, it's not going to fall, but still, you wouldn't walk into the queen, right, with your camera hanging on your neck, right, all your tourist gear, right, you don't do that. Your knapsack on your back, as tight as it might be, even if you don't think it's going to fall, you don't do that. Right, he says, if you have something on your neck, your shoulder, you should remove them, for it's not proper to stand this way before great and important people. Therefore, a person should remove from his shoulder or neck any bag or camera and the like when he prays Shmoneh Esrei. The Naim Lemishpat says what I just said before, that perhaps the Rambam thinks there's 2 different categories of what is prohibited. One last source before we get down to the practical. So we already noted that Rashi thinks that the only things you can't hold in your hands are those which distract you. But Rabbi Yonah, in number 10, he cites Rashi, but then he says, if you look at the end of the first line, he says, Lav Dafka, it's not only those things which might fall and are valuable. Elo Urcha de Milta Nakat. But he's just saying those, right? It's just, those are just examples. But you shouldn't take anything in your hand. Right? Only a lulav because it helps you because of the mitzvah. It won't distract you. Okay, to summarize what we've seen so far, therefore we have Rashi who says you only can hold things which distract you. We have Rabbi Yonah who says you can't hold anything in your hand. It may be that they both think the reason you can't hold things is because it's distracting. They argue about what distracts you, or they're arguing about whether the only reason not to hold things in your hand is because it's distracting, or because there's also an honor problem. You shouldn't have things in your hand. That obviously doesn't apply to mitzvah issues. Then you have the Ritva's calculus, which is that, we'll take the Aruch Laner first. Then you have the Aruch Laner's calculus, which was, there are three categories. There are things which totally distract you, even if they're necessary for tefillah, like a Sefer Torah, or not necessary, even if they would be helpful for tefillah. Things which are pointless and distract you because they're just pointless, so they take your mind away. And then things in the middle, which could distract you, but if they're a mitzvah, you'll overcome the distraction, right? Which, in his case, is the case of lulav, right? And the ritva, who says no? Being distracted is only a problem if it's in vain. But if you lose a little bit of distraction, but you gain attention to tefillah because of for another reason, that's okay. So sometimes there are things which both distract and help you concentrate at the same time, and those things are okay. Okay. Now, obviously, the first real shiloh you have to ask before you get to the cell phone is okay, is what Irwin mentioned before, is what about a sitter itself? Why is a sitter mutter? So the first possibility in any question is to say it's not, right? Is to deny that premise. Now, the only people I know who do that are the Soloveitchik family. If you look in 13, I won't read it inside, but right, Soloveitchik quotes that while everybody else in the world thinks it's mutter to hold a sitter during davening, Reb Chaim, his grandfather, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, said he wouldn't. He always davened by heart. And if Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, right, the Yosef Dova Levi Soloveitchik's father, was going to use a sitter, so then what did he do? He put it on the table, but he wouldn't hold anything in his hand. So one possibility is to say, look, the conclusion you're supposed to derive from this is no matter what, under any circumstances, don't hold anything in your hand because it distracts you. Period. End of story. Okay? But basically, no one takes that position. Everyone at least carves out an exception for a sitter. Now, why? Why would you carve out an exception for a sitter? So the reason is obvious, right? The reason you would want to allow a sitter is obvious. You need a sitter to daven, right? Especially, even if you daven by heart during the week, you do not, Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippur Musaf, right? Who knows the Avoda by heart? So this Shiloh was asked to the Trumat HaDeshen. Now, to figure out what the Trumat HaDeshen means, we're going to have to just remember when he lived. Okay? Trumat HaDeshen is who? He's Rav Yisrael Isserlein. He's born in 1390, dies in 1460. Something very important happens during his lifetime in 1440, which is? The printing press is invented in 1440. That means until the Trumat HaDeshen is 50 years old, any sitter we're talking about is a handwritten sitter, which is a fortune and a half. And even towards the end of his life, that's probably still true because the printing press was just invented. Okay, maybe the price went down a little bit, but realistically in his life, sidurim are very, very expensive. Keep that in mind. Okay, so he was asked in 11, Sheila. We should wonder, are you allowed to hold a sitter in your hand or a machzor when you're davening? Tshuva, so he answers, you can. You don't have to worry about it, and it's a good thing to do. And even though our sidurim are kitvei hakodesh, meaning you can't degrade them. When they're worn out, you have to put them in Geniza. You have to bury them. You have to put them just like a Sefer Torah. And if a house is burning on Shabbos, right, there are all types of leniencies. You're allowed to take it out, meaning they're holy. So obviously you can't disgrace our sidurim. Mikol makom, but still nira deshari, it's permitted. Kevan de'eno oto amachzor o tefila el rakade leitpalel b'diyuk v'lo yedaleg shum out. Because why do you have a sitter? To daven carefully and not be skipping words and skipping letters and skip it, right? That's why you have a sitter, so obviously it's permitted. Ha'wil v'tavsal l'shem tefila atzma in masam kaveda l'avelo tarit. So if you're holding it, it's obviously permitted. Now if I ask you, okay, what, the Truma Zedeshin clearly says a sitter is permitted, but why is it permitted? So let's be careful here. Why does the Truma Zedeshin say a sitter is permitted? What's possible? What are theoretical possibilities of the Truma Zedeshin? Why can you hold a sitter? Right, based on what we've said before, is it because it's not distracting, or it's potentially distracting, but the benefits outweigh the distractions, right? Which is he saying? What? Probably the latter, right? Probably that even though it's distracting, or could be distracting because it's holy, and because he doesn't say this, but it's obviously true in his day, is a fortune, right? It's very expensive. Still, the fact that you need it for davening makes it permitted, even if it might also distract you because you need it for tefillah. But you could have written the Truma Zedeshin, but it's a very unlikely read, that he thinks that once it's for tefillah, it doesn't distract you. Now what, as we've said before, what would be the practical difference between those two reads? What if you had a sitter, which clearly does distract you, right? It clearly is something that would distract you. Is it permitted or not? So according to the Truma Zedeshin, my guess is, yes, it's permitted. Because I assume that the Truma Zedeshin living, right, dying in 1460, right, and most sidurim in his time being extremely expensive, is aware that sidurim are something which could distract you. And yet it's permitted because you need it for davening. And this is going to become important because I think one of the few tshuva who thinks you can't daven with a cell phone, I think, missed this point. But I think it's clear, and we've seen this already, right? There are some people who think that you can only hold things that don't distract you, and then go to great lengths to explain why a lulav doesn't distract you. There are others who say, no, I understand that anything in your hand could distract you, but whenever you figure out what can you have in your hands during davening, you have to take the whole picture. The whole picture into account, and sometimes even things which are distracting are worth the distraction. Yeah.
For example, a sitter that is beautifully illuminated. That's just that you're looking at the artwork of the sitter instead of focused
correct.
On
so,
the itself.
Right. So that I chose not to deal with here, but really that's another question. Yes.
But isn't there, essentially part of the cell phone issue?
Well, yes. And I put some sources in it. I didn't put all the sources on that. There is a whole discussion in Poskim of whether you can have really illuminated sidurim, or, you know, because they could distract you, yes. Right, the pictures could distract you.
Or for instance, if you get a notice, if you got an email,
yes.
You can see the email.
And that we're going to come to,
okay.
For sure, and that we will come to in a moment. Okay.
One other question.
Yeah. I think that's sort of what the Truma Zedeshin is getting at, right? That you have no choice but to daven from a sitter, right? But I think he's acknowledging that that's even though it distracts you, right? Now you could say, well, right, if you have the choice between a sitter and a cell phone, right? Yes. Okay. The last question we have to see before we look at the Halacha L'maaseh is, if you look in 14, following question, what happens if you do daven with something in your hand, are you yotzei tefillah or not? Right? So far we've said what you should and shouldn't do, but let's say you did it. Do you have to go back and daven again? So this is the question the Bach had. The Bach thinks, well, it depends. It says, shlosha chilukim badavar. There's three levels. Kol ani dikatirta debizayon gitve akodesh, inami hezek bigufo hesed mamon, asur le tofsan biyadovim tofsan, sarich lachzor le palel, Level one is anything which is holy and there's potential degradation, and, right, or loss of money, or it's going to break, and it really distracts you. So then, not only can't you hold it in your hands, but if you do, you got to go back. Level two is a lulav, which is a mitzvah, and it's not a bother, it's permitted, right? Things which don't bother you at all, and they're a mitzvah, are totally permitted. And then, other things where there's no mitzvah nor preoccupation, right, one should ideally not hold it in his hand, but if he does, he's fulfilled his obligation, not have to pray again. And that's how we rule. Okay, the Bach has three levels. As we'll see, most people will argue on the Bach and say you never have to daven again. But that's the position of the Bach. Okay, so now I gave you the classic halacha lemaisa discussions about this from 15 on. So if you look at Shulchan Aruch tells you that when praying, don't hold in your hands tefillin, holy writings, a full plate, a knife, money, or bread, for one will pay attention to them, be bothered, and lose concentration. A lulav in its time is permitted to be held in his hand, for the holding is a mitzvah, and he's not bothered because of it. One can hold a machzer in his hand for prayer, for he holds it for prayer itself, and he's not bothered, like the lulav, which does not bother him, is taking it as a mitzvah, and the Haggadah, the Ramah says, nevertheless, if it was not in his hand before prayer, he should not look for it to take it, unless it was in a specified place, right? I mean, even if you're allowed to hold your sitter, right? If you started davening without it, don't go looking for it, right? Unless it's in a specific place, you're actually allowed to walk, right? If it's, you don't know where your sitter is, then don't go looking for it during davening. If you know where it is, you're actually allowed to walk during davening to get it, as long as it's in a specified place, right? Then one is permitted to take it, even during prayer, to pray from it. The Taz writes that this is only, I gave the fancy Latin translation here, but it's only ab initio, right? Which means, in Hebrew, lechatchila, which more people know what that means. But meaning, right, it's only, you should do that, but if you don't, it's okay. You don't have to daven again. And he says why. So he says, even though the Gemara tells us, I'll summarize it outside. The Gemara says that if you don't have concentration during davening, at least the first bracha, you have to daven again. We don't really do that nowadays, because we assume you won't concentrate the second time around, right? But the Taz says that even that discussion is only if you definitely didn't concentrate. If someone's holding something in their hand, did they definitely not concentrate? No, they might not have concentrated, right? The reason the rabbi told you not to hold something in your hand is because you might not concentrate. But let's say you did concentrate, so why should you go back? Right? It's not as bad, right? If you know you didn't concentrate, that's one thing. If you held something in your hand which might distract you, but it didn't, so then, you obviously don't have to go back, right? It was just a safeguard. Now, the Sharat Siyun, I didn't put it here, notes, if that's the case, and what happens if you held something in your hand and didn't concentrate? Then, do you have to go back? So, Mikra Adin, right, the strict letter of the law, you should go back. Nowadays, we don't go back when you don't have Kavana. But the Sharat Siyun says that might not be true if you're holding something in your hand. Why? What? Exactly. Right, he says, here's the problem. Normally we say if you don't concentrate during davening, don't go back because you're not going to concentrate time two. But let's say you davened with something in your hand and didn't concentrate because it was in your hand and you put it down. This time you actually do have a better chance that you're going to concentrate the second time around. So maybe you should daven again, right? But the Taz says okay. But if you did concentrate, then you're okay. Now this may depend on whether you think the issue at hand is just concentration or kavod. Right, and this is what the Einayim Lemishpat points out, is that things for concentration in general, if you don't concentrate, we say it's not great, but you fulfill your obligation. But if you do something which is totally disrespectful for davening, you have to daven again. So for example, if someone davened unclothed, right, you got to go back. Right, you got to daven again with a certain level of respect. If you think that this is part of that world, of kavod, right, of honor and respect, so maybe you do have to go back. Maybe that's why the Bach thinks you do have to go back, but we don't paskin that way. Generally, we say you don't have to go back. Is there any value to not davening from a sitter if you can? So, it depends. If you think that what the Truman Hadeshin was saying was, a sitter doesn't make you lose concentration at all, so then, is there any reason not to daven from a sitter? No. If you think that Truman Hadeshin was saying that even though it distracts you, it's necessary, then what if you can daven without a sitter? Should you? Yes. So if you look in 17, the Shari Tshuva discusses this, and he says that the Arizal would daven from a sitter, but only part of davening. Psukei deZimra, he would daven from a siddur, and Shema would say from a siddur, and Shemoneh Esrei, he wouldn't. But then he continues with what I think is the right conclusion, which is, what's the answer? Should you or should you not daven from a siddur? It depends on who you are, right? If you're the type of person who concentrates better with a siddur in your hand, so then should you daven with a siddur? Yes. If you're the type of person who concentrates worse with something in your hand, should you daven from a siddur? Maybe not, right? I'm not saying it's aser, right? But it might, right? If you concentrate better and you know it by heart, so why not? Okay. Mishnah Berurah brings down a series of halachot. I'll just go through them quickly. The Prima Gadim notes that while the main focus of this halacha is clearly Shmoneh Esrei, because whenever we talk about prayer, we mean Shmoneh Esrei, it also, at some level, is true for Shema and Psukei deZimra, because you still should concentrate, right? There's still a certain level of respect you need there. But it's not the main obligation, and therefore, in the Mishnah Berurah and Bet says, based on the Taz, so A, he paskins, you don't have to repeat your tefillah, but then he also says, let's say that which is in your object is going to make you concentrate more. So for example, the Taz says, holding a Sefer Torah in your hands, they had the minhag during Yom Purkan. Why? Because Yom Purkan talks about what? Yeah, right? It's a tefillah for people who learn Torah. So it, right, it sort of brings it into sharp relief. So it helps you concentrate. So the Taz says it's permitted, right? Because it actually brings concentration to tefillah. And this is, I skipped it before, but this is what Rabbi Soloveitchik had said before. He said, maybe why is it that a lulav is permitted? Not just because it doesn't make you lose concentration, but because it helps concentration. It contextualizes the tefillah. Right? When you say Hallel and you do the Hoshanot with the lulav, it doesn't just not distract you, it helps you. Right? So, and if the whole question is concentration, mitzvah that will force you to concentrate might be even better, right? Not like the Aruch HaNer, that it's a concession, but perhaps, right, actually makes your tefillah better. That's why we let you do it. what? Right, maybe, but they did it for Shmoneh Esrei as well, right? Because because apparently it helped them. It doesn't help me, but it, you know, they're at a different level than I am. Other things that fall in this category. So Birkei Yosef says one thing you should definitely not hold in your hand during davening, because this will distract you, is a baby, right? Do not hold a child during davening. This is halacha psuka, right? Do not hold a child during davening. There are so many reasons why you cannot hold a child during davening, right? I hope you're afraid the child is going to fall. I hope that's something that concerns you, right? But even if not, if the child is screaming, right? Or, and this is not even getting to the questions, if the child has a dirty diaper, right? Then, right, there's all types of reasons you can't daven, right? So you shouldn't daven with a child in your hand. Okay. Mishnah Berurah says that technically, right, he notes the machlokas and doesn't decide on whether the prohibition is to hold anything in your hands or only things which are valuable. Now he notes that if the question is, if the issue at hand is whether or not you're going to concentrate, what happens if not holding it in your hands will make you concentrate less? For example, you have something expensive with you, and if you hold it in your hands, you'll lose a little bit of concentration. If you leave it on the side and you're worried someone's going to steal it, right, you're at an airport, right, and you have your bag. If you hold your bag in your hand, so it's a little bit distracting. If you leave your bag with whatever you're carrying in your bag, I don't know, right, your laptop, and you leave it on the side, right, you're not going to concentrate at all. So then, if the whole question is concentration, then under those circumstances, hold it, right, hold it in your hands. Similarly, he says, what happens if your sitter falls on the floor? Now you can't concentrate because it's on the floor, so what should you do? Bend down and pick it up. Because, if the whole point is you can't hold things in your hand because it causes you not to concentrate, right? Sometimes you need to actively pick something up in order to allow yourself to concentrate. The Taz says that if what we're concerned about is concentration, then we should take this as a cue to do things which help us concentrate. For example, the Taz says, let's say it's Rosh Hashanah, right? And right, some of the Siddurim repeat Shmoneh Esrei every single time. Right, but some of them, the older ones, especially want to save space, tell you, right, at random points, turn to this page, right, and repeat what you said on that page, right? So if you don't put in those little sticky marks, then what are you doing every time you get to anything? Right, you're turning back and forth, he says, because you have to concentrate, the sitter normally doesn't distract you unless you keep looking at the table of contents, right, and figuring out where you're going to turn. So what should you do in those circumstances? Put the little sticky notes to make sure that you have concentration. Don't allow the turning the pages of your sitter to be that which makes you distracted. And then the Mishnah Berurah notes that all of this applies even to Chazar Tashas at some level when you're supposed to concentrate. I gave you at the end that some people wonder whether even these halachot even apply to Kiddush. Should you also have that same level of concentration by Kiddush? Okay. So now we've seen basically the halachic discussion. Now we can wrap it all up with the cell phone. Okay. We've seen that there are some who, there's different levels of lack of concentration, right? There are some who say that you can't hold anything in your hand unless, because it doesn't prevents you from concentrating, according to the Rav, even a sitter. Okay, that's the extreme. Most people say at least a sitter is fine because it allows you to concentrate during davening, but it's not clear whether that's because it doesn't distract you at all or it's worth the cost. There are things which are useless, which Rashi thinks you can hold, Rav Yonah says you can't. And then there's a series of halachot that say even though you shouldn't hold things, if they actively help, sometimes holding things either help you concentrate, or sometimes not holding things make it harder to concentrate. Like when things are lying on the floor, it might be stolen. And then we see that there's a certain level at which we waive the prohibition. And we've noted that in addition to the question of concentration, there's a question of kavod, right? The potential problem of a disrespect to tefillah by holding things in your hand. So now if we bring it to a cell phone, can you or can you not hold a cell phone in your hand? So, what do you think? Wait, you have all the factors in play now. Yes or no? Should you daven from a cell phone? Well, thank you. Great. What does it depend on? Okay, so one way of just saying is, look, this is the same as a sitter. Right? This is the same as a sitter. And therefore, you think a sitter is permitted? It's permitted. If you think that it's lechatchila to daven with a sitter, then you can daven with your cell phone. Lichatchila. That's basically what Rav Asher Weiss says. Rav Asher Weiss says, look, there's no kavod issue here. Forget the kavod issue. The only issue is distraction. The Trumas Hadeshin said that you're allowed to daven from a sitter. If your cell phone is acting as your sitter, then it's permitted. Period. End of story. Right? That's a very simple direction. Yeah.
Then there's a
potential problem, right? Even if it's mutter because, even if it's permitted because of holding something in your hand, there's the added problem that a cell phone is, right? You're getting emails, you're getting calls, you're getting, right? What? WhatsApps and Twitters and whatever you're getting, right? And inevitably what you're, right, these days, you know, every update from the news, first thing is, oh God, what happened, right? You're, right? So, there could be that caveat. It's at the very least, right? Not because it's carrying things in your hand, but because of what David said before, the prohibition we didn't talk about, which is don't have sidurim that are so bright they distract you, right? Don't have a cell phone, which, right, is going off. Now, it happens to be that a lot of the tefillah apps automatically put you on airplane mode, right? Now, I think that's clearly a chiyuv. I'm going to say that now. I think clearly that is a chiyuv. When you are in davening, you should either shut your phone off or put it on airplane mode, regardless of whether you're holding it. Because what we've seen is anything that's distracting you, right, is a problem during tefillah. Now, you may not have to go back to davening, but if your phone is going off or even vibrating, right, it distracts you. And therefore, what you should clearly do is put it, right, turn it off or put it on airplane mode. And if you don't, right, we didn't talk about it. This should be obvious, and I gave you in the extra source if you want to look. If you don't, in addition to the holding things in your hand problem, right, as the Piskei Tshuvot notes, as the Lahoros Nasan notes, or Nasan Gestetner, it's not just your own tefillah. It's everybody else's tefillah too, right? Inevitably, there's that guy who left his phone on, right? Either in his pocket, right? And he's fumbling around for 20 seconds trying to turn it off. And he has loud music going on for 20 seconds during davening. Or, right? He left it on the table because he's very frum, right? He doesn't want it in his hand or in his pocket. And now it's out of arm's length, right? And it's going off and he won't do what you should obviously do at that point, which is walk over in the middle of Shemona Esrei and turn it off, but he doesn't want to do that, right? And then it's even more awkward if he has inappropriate messages going off, right? That also happens, right? Clearly, okay. But Rav Asher Weiss says fundamentally, it's mutter because it's your sitter, right? With the caveat that for other reasons, you should clearly put it on airplane mode, right? Or turn it off or whatever, okay? No, if you're davening from, don't turn it off. It's a bad idea, right? Is there any reason you would say davening from a cell phone is better than davening from a sitter?
No.
Yeah. Now, Moshe suggested something to me last week that maybe it's nice that during the week people use their cell phone on Shabbos is the only time they're forced to use a book, so it distinguishes, right? Which, there is actually something nice about Shabbos. There's no cell phones.
Well,
yeah?
Good.
So that's one of the things I would suggest. The Taz, remember, had said that because concentration is so important, that one of the things you should do is you should mark off all the places you need during davening. One of the benefits of the cell phone is that, unlike your sitter, it's very hard to forget Yalla V'Yavo and the likes of a lot of these apps, right, will automatically integrate Yalla V'Yavo, B'Sein Talum Matar Livracha, right, Mashiv Haruach, whatever, right, the Omer, right, so at certain levels, they might even be better. There are other reasons why cell phones might give you distinct advantages. For example, right? What? Right, Zmanim. I didn't know they did that. Right, what else? Right, size. Right, right? For people who can't read from small to durum, there's the distinct advantage that you can blow up the letters. Right, so there are distinct advantages, and if you think it's mutter, like Rav Asher Weiss, then sometimes, in certain senses, cell phone might even be better. Right, I think that's for sure true. Why would you say it's usser? So this comes back to the Trumas Hadeshen. I assumed that the Trumas Hadeshen was saying that even though your phone is valuable, sorry, your phone, your sitter is valuable, because it's necessary for tefillah, it's permitted. But you might say that's not what he means. What he means is, right, it's only because it doesn't distract you. But if something was for tefillah but it did distract you, it would be usur. Now, I don't think that's what the Trumas Hadeshen means, but there was an article in Truman where I gave, in the addendum, I put it, if anyone wants to look at it, that Rav Avram Lipschitz takes the Trumas Hadeshen that way and says, no, the Trumas Hadeshen is only telling you that things that don't distract you and are for tefillah are permitted. But if they're for tefillah and they do distract you, so then it's prohibited. Now, I don't think this is right, because the Trumas Hadeshen is talking about when Siddurim were really expensive. But if you think that something being for tefillah is not enough, it also has to be something which doesn't distract you, then it also has to be that you don't care about your phone. Now, this honestly depends on, again, coming back to what I said before, what phone you have. My phone, I don't care if it falls on the floor. Right? It falls on the floor, nothing's happening to my phone. Right? I don't, right? I don't even do it as a prop. Right? I'm assuming there are other people in this room who would not do what I just did. If, right? For me, I can download from my phone, right? As long as it, right? I don't care, right? It doesn't distract me, right? Other people, if your phone drops, you really care, so maybe you shouldn't be down. Now, we can distinguish between lechachila b'di'eved. We can say, if you're in shul and you have a regular sitter in front of you, use it. That doesn't mean that it's so usher that if you're on an airplane or you're in, that you have to go schlepping around a heavy sitter, right? There are different levels. Yeah. Yes, always. I mean, no, it's true. In a chanami, always in your hand, right? It can tell when your hand turns this way and that way, right? Maybe. Maybe. So I don't know. I was listening to a show by Ari Leibowitz on the topic, and he says he thinks from his own experience with his phone, he is concerned every time he's holding it. Right? I don't experience this, but I assume there are people in the world. I mean, I take him at his word that he is, right? But you're right. I think for most people, right, even if it is valuable, right, the fact is most of us are not distracted by our phone because we're so used to it, right? It's like, right, our hands like are half shaped like our phone at this point. Yeah. Right. Tablets, computers, the same thing, right? Rav Asher Weiss discusses that as well. Other reasons why it might be usur. So this Rav Aryeh Lipschitz said, maybe forget these problems. There's another problem, which is Marisayan, right? Which is, who knows you're davening from the phone? Now, this is a bit complicated, because on the one hand, everybody knows that there are sitter apps, and therefore, normally we say Marisayan is only when people would assume you're doing something osir. But here, right, many people responded to Rav Aryeh Lipschitz and said, what do you mean? Why is it Marisayan? Everybody knows there's a phone app. Everybody knows you're davening and you're not looking at your phone. I would contend that's not so obvious, because it's true there are sitter apps. That doesn't mean that everybody who's looking at their phone during davening is davening from a sitter app, right? So on the one hand, it's not Marisayan in the sense that people know you might be davening from your phone. On the other hand, I don't think it's so, you can't just ignore the fact that there is something to the fact that not everybody's on it. And it does give, right, cover to people, right, who are not davening from their phone, right? Right? I mean, because all someone has to do is do this, right? And you have no idea, when he's doing this, right, you have no idea whether he's turning the app or checking work-related emails. As long as he doesn't start doing this, right, and then you're pretty sure he's not, you know, texting God, right? You know, you're pretty sure, but usually, right? So I think that's not something that should be ignored. I don't think it offers it, but I think it is a concern. I don't think something we can throw out. The fact is, on the one hand, there's a Maris Ayin problem, right? Potential, which I don't think offers it. But what he doesn't say, but I think is more of a problem, is maybe as a policy, we should think about the fact that even in shul, it's one thing at a wedding. So everyone's pulling it out because you're not schlepping around a sitter or you're on an airplane. Fine. But if in shul, it becomes normal for people to use their cell phones, even when there are siddurim all over the place, right, it does create a culture where a lot of people are doing all types of other things during, let's hope, in a good scenario, chazar is a shot. Let's not say shmona esrei. But, right? But you see, you know, every so often, you know, if you're behind someone, you see YouTube pop up, right? You don't know what's going on, right? People are clearly, I don't know what they're watching. I assume it's not a reenactment of the, you know, Malachim saying Kedusha. I assume, right? I don't know. Okay. So, halacha lemais, on the one, I think, big adol, it's mutter, like Rav Asher Weiss, right? Because whatever you say, especially in a case when you need it, on an airplane and the like, or if you really need it to remember Yalav Yavo, and remember Mashav Aruach. So fine, we pass going to Chumas Hadesh, and then even though things are distracting, if they help you for Tefillah, so it's Mutter, and I think that's true. But I don't think we should so quickly ignore the concerns. And I think, on a pragmatic basis, we clearly should, if your app doesn't do it, we should put your phone, definitely if you're not using it for Tefillah, it should be off or it should be on airplane mode. And if you're using it for Tefillah, kal vachomer, right? Because it distracts you, it distracts everybody else. I think that's a real concern. The Maris Ayin concern, I don't think it forbids it like Rav Lipschitz, but I don't think it's crazy to ask ourselves the question on a policy level, right? Do we really want cell phones to be something that people are holding during tefillah, knowing that not everybody's looking at tefillah? I think I'm not going to go as far as he goes and say it's usher, but I think there is a policy question here which we have to think of as well. So again, on balance, I think it's mutter, but I think the reasons why it might be usher, right? Because we have to concentrate on tefillah, because holding things in our hands are distracting, because things, right, cell phones going off distract us, because it might not be covered for tefillah, all those things at least I think should give us pause when we go into shul and remind us that if you're not using it for tefillah, for sure, remember the problems. And even if you are going to use it for tefillah, I think we should at least be sensitive to the concerns, because even if they're not hardcore halachic problems, I think it is true that it changes the atmosphere of tefillah, the ambiance of tefillah, and does allow people to be involved in other things, which may not be the greatest idea. So again, I don't think it's usher, but I think we can learn a lot from the reasons people think it's usher for the type of steps we need to take to improve our tefillah. And, you know, through our discussion of this, we've also seen the important halakhic discussions of not holding things in your hand, which, while the cell phone may be excluded, right? Many people don't know that under other circumstances you can hold things in your hand. So let's say you're not using your cell phone for tefillah, it clearly is usher by holding it in your hand, right? Or, right, I think, or likely usher to be holding it in your hand. Okay, so that's a basic summary of the issues. I'll turn off the recorder and I'll move away from here so people can ask me questions, but no one has to feel obligated to stay. Thank you all for coming.